She's at a remote location, I said. She wanted someone to get eyes on her son and make sure he was okay. And for the record, it wasn't cheap. Nurse Jen snorted and said, Yeah, I guess a guy your height doesn't get to shop off the rack, does he? She led me across the first room of the infirmary, which had a first aid station and an examination table, neither of which looked as though they got a lot of use. There were a couple of rooms attached. One was a bathroom. The other held what looked like the full gear of a hospital's intensive care ward, including an automated bed. Bigfoot Irwin lay asleep on the bed. It had been a few years since I'd seen him, but I recognized him. He was 14 years old and over 6 feet tall, filling the length of the bed, and he had the scrawny look of young things that aren't done growing. Nurse Jen went to his side and shook his shoulder gently. The kid blinked his eyes open and muttered something, then he looked at me.
Harry, he said, what are you doing here?
Sup, kid, I said. I heard you were sick. Your mom asked me to stop by. He smiled faintly.
Yeah, this is what I get for staying in Chicago instead of going up to British Columbia with her.
And think of all the spam you missed eating. Irwin snorted, closed his eyes, and said,
Tell her I'm fine. Just need to rest.
Then he apparently started doing exactly that. Nurse Jen eased silently out of the room and herded me gently away. Then she spread her hands.
He's been like that, sleeping maybe 20 hours a day.
Is that normal for Mono? I asked.
Not so much, Nurse Jen said. She shook her head. Though it's not completely unheard of. That's just a preliminary diagnosis based on his symptoms. He needs some lab work, to be sure.
Fabio isn't allowing it, I said. She waggled a hand.
He isn't paying for it. The state of the economy, the school's earnings last quarter, etc. And the doctor was sure it was mono.
You didn't tell his mom about that? I asked.
I never spoke to her. Dr. Fabio handles all of the communication with the parents, gives it that personal touch. Besides, I'm just a nurse practitioner. The official physician said mono, so behold, it is mono.
I grunted. Is the boy in danger? She shook her head.
If I thought that, to hell with Fabio and the winged monkeys. I'd drive the kid to a hospital myself. But just because he isn't in danger now doesn't mean he won't be if nothing is done. It's probably mono, but...
But you don't take chances with a kid's health, I said. She folded her arms.
Exactly. Especially when his mother is so far away. There's an issue of trust here.
I nodded. Then I said,
How invasive are the tests?
Blood samples, fairly straightforward.
I chewed that one over for a moment.
Irwin's blood was unlikely to be exactly the same as human blood, though who knew how intensively they would have to test it to realize that. Scions of mortal and supernatural pairings had created no enormous splash in the scientific community, and they'd been around for as long as humanity itself, which suggested that any differences weren't easy to spot. It seemed like a reasonable risk to take, all things considered, especially if River Shoulders was maybe wrong about Irwin's immunity to disease. And besides, I needed some time alone to work.
Do the tests on my authority, assuming the kid is willing, I mean.
Nurse Jen frowned as I began to speak, then nodded at the second sentence.
Okay.
Nurse Jen woke up Irwin long enough to explain the tests, make sure he was okay with them, and take a couple of little vials of blood from his arm. She left to take the vials to a nearby lab and left me sitting with Irwin.
How's life, kid? I asked him. Any more bully problems?
Irwin snorted weakly.
No, not really. Though they don't use their fists for that here. And there's a lot more of them.
That's what they call civilization, I said. It's still better than the other way.
One thing's the same. You show them you aren't afraid, they leave you alone.
They do, I said. Coward's a coward, whether he's throwing punches or words.
Irwin smiled, and closed his eyes again. I gave the kid a few minutes to be sound asleep before I got to work. River Shoulders hadn't asked for my help because I was the only decent person in Chicago. The last time Irwin had problems, they'd had their roots in the supernatural side of reality. Clearly, the giant thought that this problem was similar, and he was smarter than the vast majority of human beings, including me. I'd be a fool to discount his concerns. I didn't think there was anything more troublesome than a childhood illness at hand, but I was going to cover my bases. That's what being professional means. I'd brought what I needed in the pockets of my suit. I took out a small baggie of powdered quartz crystal and a piece of paper inscribed with runes, written in ink infused with the same power and folded into a fan. I stood over Irwin and took a moment to focus my thoughts, both upon the spell I was about to work and upon the physical coordination it would require. I took a deep breath, then flicked the packet of quartz dust into the air at the same time I swept the rune-inscribed fan through a strong arc, released my will, and muttered, "Optio." Light kindled in the spreading cloud of fine dust, a flickering glow that spread with the cloud, sparkling through the full spectrum of visible colors in steady, pulsing waves. It was beautiful magic, which was rare for me. I mean, explosions and lightning bolts and so on were pretty standard fare. This kind of gentle interrogative spell? It was a treat to have a reason to use it. As the cloud of dust settled gently over the sleeping boy, the colors began to swirl as the spell interacted with his aura, the energy of life that surrounds all living things. Irwin's aura was bloody strong, standing out several inches farther from his body than on most humans. I was a full-blown wizard and a strong one, and my aura wasn't any more powerful. That would be his father's blood, then. The forest people were in possession of potent magic, which was one reason no one ever seemed to get a decent look at one of them. Irwin had begun to develop a reservoir of energy to rival that of anyone on the White Council of Wizardry. That was likely the explanation for Irwin's supposed immunity to disease. The aura of life around him was simply too strong to be overwhelmed by a mundane germ or virus. Supported by that kind of energy, his body's immune system would simply wail on any invaders. It probably also explained Irwin's size, his growing body drawing upon the raw power of his aura to optimize whatever growth potential was in his mixed genes.